Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back into another edition of the Fantasy Authority Podcast. We are back again with part three, talking about some late round sleepers, some guys you guys should be targeting. We also give out some scorching hot bold takes in this episode. Had a lot of fun. Probably my favorite podcast so far we've recorded this entire year. It's really good cutting it up with the boys. In the meantime, we did have a couple of news and notes to get to that we didn't really talk about during the pod because it happened before they collided. With Solaire, values absolutely shot up now with Damian Williams opting out for the season. He's kind of the big first fantasy piece we've had. Not that he was going to be somebody that people were relying on, more so what it does for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We'll probably talk about that more next week. But for me, right now, I moved him up to RB7, so 100% Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be probably going in late first, early second rounds of your upcoming fantasy drafts just because of everything. We will get into more of that in depth, as well as LeSean McCoy signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That really doesn't move the needle for me. So with that, I really appreciate everybody checking out the show. I cannot tell you guys how much I appreciate any and all support you guys give us. I would really, truly appreciate. I am not a beggar, but what I would appreciate if you guys could do me a favor, head over to our YouTube channel, The Fantasy Authority, hit that subscribe button. You have no idea. We're trying to grind it out, trying to make it on that path, that road to 1,000 subscribers. So any help, anything anybody can do, we really appreciate it. Anyways, with that, I'm going to shut up and quit rambling on so you guys can enjoy this last part of part three. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend, y'all, and we'll see you all again next week. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. And now,
let's talk about some late round sleepers, guys. And Cody, as we talk about Jalen Reagor, I know that is one of your guys there. But yeah, let's get into the late round sleeper conversation and where people really expect to win their fantasy leagues and their drafts here, where you could get a leg up on the competition. So rounds 9 and 16 are where these guys are probably going to be going in ADP. Cody started off with the Reagor talk.
Yeah, I mean, dynasty wide receiver one. I'll just say it. I don't give a shit. Dynasty wide receiver one, redraft wide receiver one for rookies. I mean,
I'm on board. I agree.
Let's go, baby.
I agree.
I've got no problem with it.
Let's go.
I was expecting a little pushback there.
Hell no, you came to the wrong spot, dude.
900-yard season for Reagor coming.
Yep.
He's a complete wide receiver. If anybody wants to come out with it, he was just a field stretcher. Like, you need to.
If he had a college quarterback, we'd be having a completely different conversation.
Yep. Yeah. And look at his sophomore season, regardless.
I don't even talk to me about concentration drops. That's garbage.
Raiders would have taken him
watch them games, baby.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I think Wentz has started to move up finally in rankings and in ADP. I think he was going outside of, I think he was going like QB 13 earlier in the season. I think he's now finally cracking like the top 8, 9, 10. So, are we just going to ignore the fact of what Wentz did last year with Greg fucking Ward? Obviously, he had the
DFS. Hey, I still remember. I will never forget Greg Ward.
Hey, baby. Greg Ward was great in DFS. We will not besmirch Greg Ward.
I would besmirch Greg Ward right now, just with the making the transition to having a stud like Jalen Reagor. Get the fuck out of here with Alshon Jeffrey. fuck, like he's get him all the fucking way out of here. He shouldn't be drafted. Don't
I love it.
Don't do that.
He and did.
I mean, who else do they have? I mean, fucking
Sean Jackson is there. I mean,
they have Sanders, they have Ertz, and they have Goddard. That's it.
D-Jax is one Instagram comment away from not being.
D-Jax is.
That's some real shit, man.
Yep. He really D-Jax is.
Was
man.
Live with Magic City with Lou Williams. D-Jax yeah, was right. Magic City with Lou Williams. So he's done.
But yeah, he's going wide receiver 48 right now. It just makes no fucking sense whatsoever. So if you can get him at that point, I'm not exactly sure what his actual ADP is. But if you can get
like
him
11th round.
Yeah, give me a sec. I can pull it up for you.
So four for four has him at wide receiver 50, actually.
Yep.
ADP of 1205.
And I've got 11-11. So yeah, we're close.
Yeah, that's way too cheap.
That's crazy. Yeah,
I think fantasy calculator, he's going at like – he's 11th round.
People look at the speed and they want to talk about how he's just a field stretcher. And I'm like, what are you watching, bro?
No,
like,
so that's it. But that's people that don't.
He's an X receiver. Yeah. He's an X receiver. Like, mm-hmm. Let's get this out of here, man.
Isn't he about the same size as Odell Beckham? I'm pretty sure it's pretty similar. If not mistaken.
I'd have to go look. Yeah. But I'm like,
he's a baller. His film
was probably my favorite to watch. Out of
I have seen him
set,
like
the dude is just an absolute beast.
To your point, Ben, just watch two games, man. And I keep saying it over and over until people want to actually go watch the two damn games that I'm talking about. Go to 2018. Ohio State and West Virginia, man. Two high volume games, and you see this dude. Fed targets, and you see him used in what looked like a competent offense. 2019, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. They had some like junior high kid trying to like coordinate an offense or something. Because like I got no clues, man. It's insane, man. Rager is so slept on, dude. Like if you can acquire him in any dynasty league, I know we're talking about all redraft, but like if anybody is like looking at this dude and disrespecting him, get him on your freaking team. He is a stud.
Odell is 5'11", 198. Rager's 5'11", 206. Like, I feel like people talk about him like he's like Marquise Goodwin. The
they
dude
talk
is
about him like he's Percy Harvin, Ben. That's the comp.
Oh, 206 is 98th percentile in burst score.
Which people said the same thing about Tyreek Hill for a while, too.
Gotta get the Chiefs
in. That is
true.
Well, hey.
That is true.
Gotta get the Chiefs in here.
But wait, but
he always finds a way, Debo.
No.
Speaking of Mecole Hardman.
No,
Life finds a way, Ben. No. Life finds a way.
You see the show sheet. It's right in front of you. You can see who it is. So you know it's not going to be Mecole Hardman. Though I do like Mecole Hardman as a late-round flyer, but you brought him up. I wouldn't even say
I
it.
I do, too. I do, too.
Okay? Man. Wasn't going to say it. I was actually going to say Justin Jefferson as a transition to another rookie wide receiver. You dicks. Okay?
But I'm interested to hear this one.
Anyways, this is actually what happened back in February. We were talking about Justin Jefferson going to the Vikings, and that's when Ben was like said something about Tyler Johnson, and it completely fucked me up. All right,
dude, like almost fell out of his chair.
You're not gonna get me now, okay? Anyway, Justin Jefferson, I think is certainly in the same conversation as Jalen Rager, and I know he's not gonna see the same volume, at least in terms of he's not on the same offense that's gonna be looking for that kind of production. They're not gonna be in the top 10 in pass volume this year. Unless the only way I could see that is that I do think that defense is certainly gonna take a little bit of a step back than what defense we've seen in years past. He is clearly the number two wide receiver in that offense. The only other player they have is Olabisi Johnson. I'm okay that the fact that he's now listed as COVID to start this whole thing, because now in my head, I don't have to worry about him getting it the rest of the year where everybody else still has the landmine for it. I'm not going to plan that at all, but I don't mind seeing that he's already had it. Regardless of that, I just think him being the number two target in this offense, if anything were to happen to Adam Thielen is, what, turning 30 years old this year. I'm not calling that. I still think Adam Thielen is certainly the certainly the man to have in that offense. However, there's like a 9-round gap or 8-round gap between where the two of them are going. You know, I don't think that you were – I think that he was going to primary play in the slot. I like all of those things about him. I think expecting somewhere in the range of 80 to 100 targets is certainly the range of his possibility, range of his outcome. Maybe 100 is probably a little high. Probably 70 to 90 is probably a little bit more fair for him. But going in the 11th round, I think there's a lot of upside there for him. And there's certainly, if anything were to happen to Thielen, then it's absolute wheels up for Justin Jefferson because they have nobody else.
Excuse me, Irv Smith is there, baby. Sorry.
No, I said nobody else was there. I said what I said.
Yeah, I know, and I got to correct you because you're wrong. But anyway.
Irv, baby.
Oh, man. Hey, Gary Kubiak taking over the reins there, too, in Minnesota, I think can help with the wide receiver situation as well, too, with Kirk Cousins. This dude's got some wide receivers under his belt wherever he's been. Demaryius Thomas, Andre Johnson, Rod Smith, and back in the day. So I love Gary Kubiak offenses. I think they're fun. So I hate siding with Kev, but
that's Super Bowl 50 champion Gary Kubiak.
You always remember that respect. If you side on my side, you're always gonna win. Like that is what we should remember from all this, okay?
So moving so, on so in the yeah, show.
So what I'm gonna do?
That's Tyler Johnson to me.
When I'm editing this, I want to write down these takes that we have, and I want to have a review pod at the end of the year to see where we all come out in this and who was right and who was wrong.
All right, because well, we I already got one bet locked up.
My success rate is going to be through the roof.
Good job, please.
You're already $20 in the hole, Kev. So.
Oh, that's straight cash, homie. Straight, like Randy Moss said. All right, one clap.
Derek, keeping it on the sleeper wide receivers. Ben, you want to talk about yours? Because I have another wide receiver, too, around that range.
Not super sexy because I do like Mecole Hardman. I do like Christian Kirk, guys like that. But I just kind of want to take this time to just say it's insane that in FFPC best ball drafts, Golden Tate's ADP is wide receiver 58.
I think it's fair. I think that's actually fair, but keep going.
Really? It's not sexy, but the dude – see, and part of this is I'm not a Darius Slayton guy at all. I think that last year was a lot of due to a lot of injuries, and he made
Hi,
the
Ben.
Most of the situation.
I, my name's Derek. I love Darius Slayton. How are you?
Hey, I'm about to take a crap all over you.
Sterling Shepard, is he dead? What? Is Sterling Shepard
dead? Oh!
I just think a lot of it was with a lot of injuries, and he made the most of a situation. But we sometimes see some of these rookie wide receivers that, oh, they're about to, you know, take off, and it doesn't happen. I just think Golden Tate, so reliable. I like Sterling Shepard a lot, too, and I actually think getting both of them where you can get them is a solid strategy, excuse me, especially in best ball because they're so cheap. But I think part of it is he was suspended, so he didn't play the whole year. But you look at what he did when he played. Golden Tate was reliable, scored 6 touchdowns in limited time. And he's just – I wouldn't be talking about him, but he's so cheap that, I got to
– I feel like it's probably this because what he's like probably the 4th option, maybe the 5th option.
See, I just – yeah, that's just where we disagree.
I mean, Evan Ingram, again, if he stays healthy. And then you have obviously Saquon, I think – it is certainly in there. And then you have Darius Slayton. I think Darius Slayton's the best wide receiver in the offense. And then I think Sterling Shepard is too. So, I mean, where is he coming in targets? Now, of course, this is a team that has suffered with injuries with, obviously, Evan Ingram. And you also – then you have Sterling Shepard who continuously keeps getting concussions. So, certainly, that could change with Golden Tate. But I just feel like Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard are redundant assets, and I'd rather have the cheaper one.
I'd rather
have the younger one.
They are, but they both produced when they were on the field last year, which, again, was questionable because they were both out. But that's just kind of what it comes down to, like I already said, is I'm just not really buying into Slayton. You are, and that's the difference for us.
Yeah, I love Slayton. I'm not even going to back off of it. I absolutely love the guy. I think that if he was on a different team, the narrative around him would be crafted quite differently. Like if we were talking about a rookie wide receiver that was drafted in the 5th round that – blew up in his first season when he was given an opportunity. He was the wide receiver 26 after he became a starter, 740 yards and 8 touchdowns. And you apply that to anybody with a different name on a different team. I think that the narrative around Darius Slayton would be different. But anyway, I'll rest my case.
No, that's fair. It's very fair.
I know Maddie kind of talked about the Colts earlier. I'm going to double down on it, man. I love Paris Campbell. I get it's the new sexy thing to talk about, like whatever Frank Reich is hyping up and the new second round pick of this year. But anybody that thinks that Michael Pittman is going to come off the street and play X receiver and win and succeed from day one, I think is not really understanding. Like that's a little bit harder to do than what you're talking about. Paris Campbell is going to run from the slot. Reich is designing, has designed an offense that is been below the league average in ADOT for the last 5 years by 0.8. So you're talking about short area targets. You have a guy that's running from the slot, and he runs a 4-freaking-3. 33% of his targets last year were bubble screens. You have a quarterback that, for as much crap as people try to give Phillip Rivers, he is better than Jacoby Brissett. He is an upgrade in what they're going to ask him to do. Both of those quarterbacks, their deep balls are bad, really bad, like outside the top 20, 25 bad inaccuracies. But where Rivers succeeds is short, intermediate, and off of play action. Like, he's top 12 in both of those completion percentage metrics. And that's what Reich is going to ask him to do. And that's right in Paris Campbell's wheelhouse, man. Like, I don't understand how in the absolute hell he is wide receiver 65 right now. That is absolute insanity to me, because even you look at last year, Frank Reich's offense over multiple stops. You're talking about the Chargers. You're talking about the Eagles. You're talking about previous Colts before the Jacoby Brissett year. They were never, ever, 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 ever outside the top 14 in passing attempts, and they were 24th last year. They are going to throw the ball, and people are like, okay, they're going to run it too. They can do both. Like, that is not unheard of. They did both in 2018 with Andrew Luck. That just comes down to pace. So they can run the ball, and Paris Campbell is going to ball out this year. So if you held on to him in Dynasty, if you want to get him in redraft, congrats. You're going to love him.
I love that call. I've been talking about Paris Campbell since fucking February for Dynasty, and then with once redraft and best ball and all that shit came out. Because I love Michael Pittman as a prospect. But
yeah, I'm not hating on Pittman. That's not me. Like, I'm not hating on him, but where he's asked to win and what he's going to do, Paris Campbell's second year, and he's in an easier spot to win easily in this offense.
Right, and T.Y. Hilton the past 2 years, 76 and 77% of his snaps have come from outside. Like, you would think T.Y. might be an inside guy. He's an outside guy. So Paris is going to have that all to himself.
Yep. I love it, man. Like, I just don't understand. Like, it makes no sense. Like, his ADP and Rager's ADP just blow me away. It's kind of like you don't want to have too much exposure to certain players, but it's like
– once you get to that point.
Yeah, but when you get there at the draft, I mean, why not? Because they're not – their ADP is not creeping up. And I get to that point in the draft, and I'm like, sure, I'll take him again.
Why
give
not?
Give it to me. Yeah. I mean, I'll take all of it.
At those costs, yeah. I like it. I like that call on Campbell for sure.
You don't – I mean, what do you think happens with Zach Pascal?
Nothing. He doesn't play.
Do you think he plays? Do you think he starts? Because Pittman's probably going to start one on the outside.
I think there's a shot that he's their slot.
He's not going to play in the slot. No,
Paris Campbell's playing the slot unless they run four wide, and I don't see them doing that.
No, they run a lot of 11.
He played 72 targets. The time in the offense thing doesn't really matter all that much. They have neither one of them, Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell, have no rapport with Phillip Rivers. So I mean. It is what it is. And to me, can Paris Campbell win more than just being a deep threat, right? Because I think that's the question.
He wasn't a deep threat, though, last year.
Right. That's not what I'm saying. That is, I think, what people look at him like because of his speed and everything else.
Well, they're looking at him wrong, then.
And so I think that's why Paris Campbell has fallen the way that he has, and that's why there is no hype surrounding him. But I do think that this offense, there is quite a few targets to go around, and I do think Zach Pascal is going to have a role in the offense. I mean, he has 75 targets last year.
Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle. And so I do think that
tight end, Jack Doyle.
Doyle
I think
Doyle.
If they're
to catch injuries, a ball down could be a top 10 tight end this year.
You better believe it.
I don't understand the Colts discount. Like –
Yeah,
I don't know
how
big of a ceiling there is for Paris Campbell. I guess that would be my
I don't think there's a super high ceiling, but where you can get him so late, I mean, that's just kind of the same.
Sure, but I feel like in those rounds, that is really all you're shooting for. Because if he doesn't start to pay off early, people are going to drop him, right? Immediately. Nobody's holding on to Paris Campbell after 2 weeks if he hasn't done a whole lot.
What do you mean for him to hit the ceiling, though, Kev? Like, you need volume,
I see. No, I see what you're saying. But that's what – when in those later rounds, like, that is what – people shoot for. Like, people are not looking for a guy who may give me let's just say usable weeks, right? Like where he is at least a wide receiver three or I guess a flex, right? Or wide receiver four. How many would you say that you think that he has this year? If the answer is because you should be looking for somebody in those rounds. I would say somebody that can give you probably 3 to 5, something like that. Because if not, you're going to cut him and you're going to move on. And so taking those guys, sure, he could pan out. I don't hate Paris Campbell. This isn't a Paris Campbell.
No. I get what you're saying.
I guess it's devil's advocate a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So what I'll toss to you is T.Y. Hilton was banged up. We know how old is he now? 30, 31, soft tissue stuff. And I think it's fair to question if T.Y. goes down, if the passing attempts, because the passing attempts, let's get this out of the way, they're going up. That's definitive. They're going to go up. If T.Y. misses any games, like you're talking about Jefferson, if T.Y. misses any games, who's the one in this offense? Like, I don't think it's close. Like, I don't the one.
I think it'd be
Pittman. Yeah.
Why?
I think it'd be Pittman.
Pittman would be the one.
He is much more of a prototypical wide receiver in terms of what he could do as for Philip Rivers and what Philip Rivers could do at this point of his career. Philip Rivers cannot throw the deep ball anymore. Like that is gone. It is a complete duck. All right.
So do you think Pittman's going to be running short routes?
That's where Pittman wins, though.
Yes, I think he's much more of a physical receiver. That's why I think you can see Pittman a lot more as well in the slot. I think they're going to move him all over the field. Like I think the hype that you've seen around Pittman from them, I think is real. Like I definitely think Michael Pittman, if I had to choose.
It's the same thing they said about Paris last year. It's just a different year. But everybody forgets.
No, it's not that, again, I don't hate, but if I had to
choose.
If I'm on the clock, both of them are sitting there and I want to take one of them, I'm taking Michael Pittman
100%
of the time.
I'm team Pittman, but I like both players. And Kev, I mean, this kind of the same points you're bringing up for Campbell can be brought up with Justin Jefferson too. So, you know, it's kind of
right. And that's all you're looking for. That's why I said, like, if you want to take a shot on Paris Campbell,
I get it.
There's upside there. Like it's like N'Keal Harry, right? N'Keal Harry is another example. Last year, everybody loved N'Keal Harry. People were riding N'Keal Harry's dick. Like right now, nobody is. Like everybody, like you're starting
like
to hear a little
year,
bit of excitement for N'Keal Harry, but it's nothing. And he could end up being the guy that none of us really are talking about that could end up being the guy. Because he, right now, I hope Cam Newton is the starter. He should be the starter. But you never know what could happen there. Yeah. But
if he's healthy.
He is the absolute perfect target for Cam Newton and what Cam Newton likes to looks at. And so, I mean, N'Keal Harry could actually be the answer of who's the best late-round wide receiver. Yep. I mean, even if he finishes as like a wide receiver three, right? Like, that's still a credible value for where you probably drafted him if he continues to go in that, 10th, 11th round range that he's going in. You know, so for him, like, he certainly has that upside there. Of course, everything you draft in round 10 to 15, 16, depending on how late your draft is all you're just hoping. And for most cases, those guys are probably being dropped. Those are the first guys you're looking to drop. You're moving on from them, right? Whoever it is, you need somebody. Three guys go down with COVID. You have two of them. Those are the guys you're going to be dropping anyways. For me, so that's why for me, like, I shoot straight upside in the later rounds. Like, I don't know how you guys do it. Like, so that's why for me, I would never take Golden Tate ever. Because I don't think that in my mind, he doesn't have the upside. Sure, he may have some weeks that he's usable. He certainly probably will. But I want that guy who can give me league win, or maybe not league winning, but could return incredible value on the investment there. If not, I'll move on after a couple of weeks and start working the waiver wire, because that's usually how it works.
That's 100% fair, Kevin. And I'll be honest, like, the Tate call is more of a best ball call where you can just get some solid value late. But yeah, like, typically I'm looking for that high upside, which I love that you brought up N'Keal Harry, because I'm in on the sophomore year bounce back, because like you said, who has Cam always had success to throwing the ball? The similar body types to N'Keal Harry, the dude's collegiate profile is flawless. And I think that he can definitely, you know, outpay his price.
Well, the thing is, they want him to, like, they didn't do anything to address the weapons in the draft. They want this guy to take a step. Like, why else do you not address the weapons at all? Because people are like, they're going to go run heavy.
Jacoby Myers season is why.
I do like Jacoby Myers. And Edelman's old as hell. I love Jacoby Myers.
Edelman can
34.
Still play, but like,
he's 34.
I think that they
Muhammad Sanu, that they gave up a second round pick on. They got to make good on that value.
Oh, good gosh. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to play. He's going to play.
Watch him be the quarterback.
You know they're going to use Muhammad Sanu this year as a quarterback at some point. Not a lot, but I'm sure.
He'll throw a touchdown to Cam.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll do something crazy, man. Yeah, I can't wait to see that offense. I'm higher on Cam than I think some people are. Like, everybody's like, oh, they're going to go so run heavy. And I'm like, with what? Sony Michel?
Oh, I think
like,
they're
do you run think
that's Burkhead season, baby.
I think they're going
to run. I'm not against Burkhead. Burkhead, you can get with, like, your literally last pick of a best ball draft. Like,
Damian Harris is starting to gain some steam.
Derek, you think with these weapons they're going pass heavy? No, come on.
Cam Newton's not a good passer anyways.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, yeah, come on. Come on, bro.
But
I don't like
backs aren't good
like
rushers.
I don't like
running backs aren't good rushers.
I don't think that they're going to go pass heavy, but I think they're going to pass more than people are talking about. Like, people are throwing out like Tim Tebow comps and all that kind of crap. Like,
yeah, that's a little much.
Like,
yeah, that's a.
But the whole reason I think that is because the Patriots run a very very like play action heavy offense. Cam. I mean, we can go look it up. Like, look at Cam's completion percentage. It went through the freaking roof whenever Turner was there, and they went super play action heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Cam was very accurate that year. So
and
I think that
CMC.
I think that considering all of those things, we could see more passing attempts. Like, I'm not talking about a ton. Do I think that they finish in the, like, 16th or higher? That's fine. But the way that it's getting thrown out there is they're going to run the damn ball every down, and I don't think that's the case. I don't think they have a running back that can be, one, effective doing that, or two, hold up to the volume. Because, I mean, as much as we all want Damian Harris to be a thing, did anybody watch that dude play in preseason? Like, where's the burst? Like, where did that guy look special at any point?
They've also still got Burkhead and James White and Sonny Michel.
It's interchangeable. Yeah. They'll use them all. Yeah. But to your point, Derek, if Harry hits the ceiling that I think he can hit, which, I mean, he could be this year's DJ Chark. He could be Michael Gallup, Cortland Sutton. The weapons aren't as bad as we like to say, because Edelman, he's old, but he can still ball. And Sanu, we like to make fun of the draft capital, but, I mean, Sanu can play. So, you know, they bring in a few interesting tight ends, especially Asiasi. I'm interested to see what he can do. So, definitely a fascinating offense. I can't wait to watch.
I mean, they still have the worst offense in the league, I think. But
the worst?
Yeah.
In the league?
In the league?
Name a worse offense. About?
Kev, they're going to design this offense.
The Jets say hi. Hello.
No, I don't. Yeah. In terms of, are we talking about in terms of like entire offense, right? I would take the Jets. But the problem is, yes, 100%.
Are you just talking about like fantasy wide receiver assets, or what are we talking here?
No, I'm talking about could switch offenses. I would take the Jets offense over the Patriots.
Do you want to make another bet? Like, who scores more
points, the Jets or
the Patriots?
Teams
have to score points to be a good offense, right, Kev?
Oh, yeah, because the head coach has nothing to do with it.
I mean, we're just talking about it. Good offense and score points, right? Like, just saying.
Adam Gase is there, okay? So I won't bet on a fucking thing that has zero points. But I'm talking about in just talent.
What he gonna talk about?
Yes.
Wow.
I would take the Jets off.
I mean, it doesn't make me feel good because I don't agree with Kev at all in this statement. But
we need to have this conversation because I am fucking shocked because they have a 30 fucking 4-year-old Julian Edelman, right?
That can still win.
I guess.
Still better than Crowder.
He did it last year. Yeah. What do you mean you guess? He did. He's old. So
still better than Crowder.
He still played well.
Is he substantially better at this point in his career than Jamison Crowder? Is he substantially better?
Oh, Jock, come on, man. Jamison can't even hold his jock on the outside. Get out of here with that. There's no way, dude.
Denzel Mims. I absolutely love Denzel Mims.
I have questions.
I like Mims. I like Mims. I still come back to like...
I have questions.
Who do you think is better, Mims or Harry? We're matching up offenses here.
I mean, I would take Denzel Mims.
Harry.
But it's also the unknown versus what we saw last year, right? So that's probably clouding a little bit, right? Rashad Perriman. If what he was able to do at the end
Perriman
of the year
over
in Tampa.
Sanu.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, if he carries that over, all right, sweet. So we got that. And then at running back, yes, I know Le'Veon Bell is not the same Le'Veon Bell as he was, but I would still take him all day over any running back that the Patriots have.
Yeah, I'll take Le'Veon Bell. So it's two out
so
of
we write that up.
Two
all
out
right?
of four.
So tight end, I'm going to take Chris Herndon over any fucking tight end that the Patriots have.
Yeah.
Or are you going to take a Patriots tight end?
No, I would take Herndon.
No, but you have to take that Jets offensive line. You have to take that Jets O line, Kev.
The Jets O line is going to be improved.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not New England.
they're still not great.
Let's not pretend like the New England.
They're not even close to New England.
That's pretty good.
New England's going to be way better than the Jets. Mekhi Becton is not going to fix that offensive line. McGovern, they got it. Center.
That's not the point. That's not the point I'm making. Adam Gase is a fucking
You're saying
idiot.
It's the more talent. And I'm telling you straight up, the Patriots are going to score more points, so it doesn't matter.
That's a fact, yeah. I mean,
it doesn't matter. It's not even it doesn't matter talent when your coach is, like, religiously neutered all talent around him. Like, he just shoots it off into the sun. So,
I just don't know. Like for example, so for me, my late round sleeper was going to be Jamison Crowder. Like, this dude is coming off of 122 target season. No, but listen, Kev, listen. They just got rid of Jamal Adams. This defense is going to be a dumpster, dude. They are going to give up.
It was a dumpster beforehand, too.
It was a dumpster beforehand. So, like, Jamison Crowder being in that position, I like him from a fantasy perspective. I'm not necessarily buying into.
I'll take your bet. I'm taking it. I'll take the Jets offense. I'll take the Jets offense over the Patriots.
You're going to take what? That they're going to score more points?
And what? Points per game?
Points per game would be the.
Then over the Patriots? Is that what I just heard, Kev?
Kevin's immediately.
My headphones are. This, I don't hear anything yet.
How are we doing
stop?
This? I'm thinking about this. Hold on.
Not only
Ryan,
is he immediately regretting it.
Ryan, put both on. He wants to hear this good, man.
Not only is he immediately regretting it, but five minutes prior, he said,
the more I think about it, the more I thought about it. I was like, you know what? The Patriots, one, is going to be an offense that's going to be very low scoring. They're going to rely on their defense because that's literally the only
their
thing.
Their defense is very good.
Their offense is, again, total shit. Like, there's nothing exciting about that offense. It wasn't exciting last year with Tom fucking Brady, but now all of a sudden we're expecting it to be so much better than what it was last year, I guess. Whatever. So, however,
scored more points, Kev?
I will
You're
take
skirting it.
I will take the Jets at another $20 bet. Would you like to make the take?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Line it up. I've been trying
to
do it.
No, this is me, Derek. I'm not giving this out to the entire room. Me and Derek.
I just want a payout.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Why? I fair bet to you.
I'm down with it. I'm down with it. Sign me up. Put it on the board. I'm good. Yeah. I've been trying to talk me into this the last 10 minutes.
I feel like this is when Kev bet that the Rams wouldn't even make the playoffs.
I was a year early. What happened the next year? They didn't make the playoffs. I was just a year early on that. We'll see.
But they made it to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
The year you made the bet, they made it to the Super Bowl. And he must have learned because that's when you bet the whole room. Kev bet the whole.
Kevin, I mean, it's just. Like, not only are you betting on the offense, but, like, how many Jets are you investing in your leagues? Like, seriously, show me the screenshots of where you have Lev Bell. Show me where you
what
have
Patriots Denzel are Mims. You betting show on? What Patriots are you betting on? Nikhil, are you drafting Nikhil a Harry. Ton of Patriots?
N'Keal Harry.
I'm gonna draft James White.
I'll take N'Keal Harry. I'll take a shot on Cam.
I'll take a shot on Cam.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be good. I can't wait.
How many Jets are you taking? You didn't answer the question, Kev. Who are you taking from the Jets?
Who's on your roster?
Who would I take if you're? It depends on how you're talking.
Kev, who is on your roster?
I'm asking you. Who are you going to draft from the Jets? I mean, we're talking about targets. I haven't heard you bring up one Jet since they're so good.
We just went through the list. We just went through it. And you all, and it sounds like you.
But who are you drafting? Talking about talent.
In Kev's defense, he's not saying the Jets are good. He's just saying they don't smell as much like shit as the Patriots do. In Kev's defense.
Yeah,
he's not saying they're good. They're just like
Adam Gase off that offense. I think that they would be a team.
Well, yeah, but that's not the point.
Yeah. I mean,
but I still have,
I think
feel,
that's Kev's point. He's
but
just
I
not
still
really,
feel yeah. like the Patriots are the worst offense in the league, and I would still take an Adam Gase led fucking offense over anything the Patriots are gonna be running out there.
Okay, now do the Bears.
That's easy. That's blouses.
I was trying to get a rise out of Ryan.
You're not gonna get a rise out of me when you put facts.
You'd be better off comparing the Redskins, I guess, to the Patriots. And I still would take Redskins over them.
Wow. Oh my god. Oh sweet. No. Okay, Kev, yeah. I'll make that bet.
All right, so
we've been potting too long.
Let's round it out with late round
QB. Are the Patriots even going to average over 20 points a game this year? Are they?
I don't give a crap how much they average. They're going to average more than the Jets. That's all I care about.
Kev, you just locked in betting on Adam Gase over Bill Belichick and then had the audacity to say that Washington has a better offense. Washington, whose wide receiver two is an undrafted Kansas Steven Sims. And they have no tight ends. All their running backs are shit.
Just give me Terry McLaurin. That's all you
I'm going to video. I don't know what I'm going to spend this $20 on, but I swear to God, I'm going to video what I spend it on. It's got to be something.
If
it's going to be the best $20 I ever spent. Oh.
If Dwayne Haskins turns into Cam Newton, that will be an incredible success for his career.
That's a pretty high bar.
Oh my
that's
goodness.
That's the point.
This is like taking candy from a baby here from these people. That's all right. I can say.
All right, take my candy.
Late round quarterback.
What?
Late round quarterback who can win the championship. So Kev, just talk gospel on Sam Darnold, please.
I like talk it. Gospel dude. On Sam hey. Darnold. Don't hate on Sam Darnold.
Haskins.
That's not who I see on the sheet. Let me.
I'm done.
With the 32-ounce solo. Go ahead and talk that gospel.
Hey, this was never about that. I said I love the Jets. It's just I would take their offensive pieces over to what the Patriots have. I don't think that's a fucking hot take.
Oh, my God. No, he does have Sam Darnold there. Jesus Christ. I didn't see this before.
Yep. No, Ryan just changed it.
I didn't change anything.
No, that wasn't Ryan.
I didn't change anything. Let's talk about these late round quarterbacks who could potentially win championships on the real. I put down Jared Goff. I talked about Cooper Kupp before, like getting exposure to the offense just in general. And maybe you don't choose between Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods, or maybe you have both of them and you want to do the mega stack, or you get Akers and you want to have the rushing points with the quarterback points. I mean, this guy, he didn't look great in some of the games last year. He is a guy that he relies on the offense to just be perfect. And we saw Sean McVay kind of, you know, get brought to light on can he handle the situation or not, with the whole offense digressing. But Cooper Kupp was injured. They had injuries across the board. I like their outlook for this season. I'm buying into Jared Goff, where he's going in drafts right now in late rounds. I'm totally fine with getting exposure to this offense again.
He's so cheap.
He is cheap, and all of his weapons are going, you know,
a lot higher,
massively in ADP, and then you just get left with him. So it's like, why not get a piece of that offense from the quarterback position? Let's go with Ben, because I like this pick here.
We're talking about a lot of offenses that we want to invest in. I want to invest in Carolina. Really like Teddy Bridgewater. Just think he offers so much upside. Their defense, I think, is going to be historically bad. And I think that sets up for such a favorable fantasy, you know, game scripts from a passing standpoint. And this dude has weapons. He's obviously got CMC. Love me some DJ Moore. Bring in Robbie Anderson. And I really like, you know, another guy we haven't talked about, Curtis Samuel, could be that guy that takes the next step this year. He saw a lot of downfield targets that, you know, they just didn't work out because he saw them from Kyle Allen. Really like the coaching staff that they have there in Carolina. And I think Teddy proved, you know, kind of like he did earlier in his career before the injury last year. Granted, it was a good situation, but Teddy can ball. And I think he's going to do just that. Super cheap. I really like Jimmy G too. There's obviously fear that the same thing happens again, where the defense just dominates. You obviously don't have that in Carolina whatsoever. Teddy should be throwing all the time. He should have a solid floor and peak games as well. So, I mean, I'm all in on Teddy in all formats at his price.
Derek, what say you, man?
I Dude, I love the Teddy call. I'm all in on Teddy. The guy that I want to talk about real fast is Joe Burrow. I understand we have different stipulations as far as learning in the offense and stuff for the offseason, but Kev, you can shake your head all you want to, man.
You talk this whole podcast about players learning offenses and everything else, why they could struggle. Mm-hmm. And Joe Burrow, the fucking quarterback, hasn't had any experience in this offense. You think, all right.
Yeah, because they're going to throw – they could lead the league in passing attempts. I'm going to go with this from a volume perspective, Kev. On a per-game basis, Andy Dalton in 13 games. So it's not crazy to extrapolate that out to 16. They'd have been second in the league in passing attempts. Second. So where you're going to get him in drafts right now, he has a rushing upside. They're going to be top three possibly in passing attempts because the defense is garbage. Is Joe Burrow going to pay off on his cost? Yeah, I'm in with it. And all of his weapons are super cheap. Nobody wants AJ Green. Tyler Boyd's outside the top 30 in most drafts. If AJ Green doesn't come back, T. Higgins is free. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Joe Burrow because of the rushing. I'm going to go with a better offensive system. And I think that he can absolutely do that this year.
I like Burrow, too.
I do too.
You look at Andrew Luck when he came in his first year, he threw for 4,200 yards. So, like, a rookie can come in and ball out. And then touching on the rushing upside, Burrow had 93 and 81 pure rushing attempts. College is weird where they include sacks and rushing attempts. So, you got to back those out. But he had 93 and 81. So, comparing that to Josh Allen, who had 116 and 70 in his sophomore and junior year, Burrow's going to be, he's got the rushing upside. And, anytime you're drafting a late round quarterback, you're looking for a guy who can do a little bit of both to help you with both the floor and the ceiling. So I'm on Team Burrow also.
Me too. And we started the podcast by talking about that there are going to be outliers when we talk about the rookies. And I think Burrow can be an outlier. The dude is elite. And we skipped over it earlier, but I really really like Tyler Boyd in the sixth round. Just think he offers so much reliability and upside. Obviously, you touched on it, D-Bro. All the other weapons he has, I agree with you. I like it.
Why take Burrow instead of taking Gardner Minshew?
Higher upside.
Does he? I mean, Gardner Minshew finished top five in about every rushing metric last year for quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He was one of the most efficient quarterbacks we've seen, rookie quarterbacks we've seen in the last 4 years. I think he's second in completion percentage among rookie quarterbacks. He finished top five in deep ball completion percentage. So he has that Konami code upside. He's certainly not Deshaun Watson or any of those other in terms of like athletic ability. But we saw it last year with him. He didn't have any rushing touchdowns, so some positive regression coming in. You know, maybe in that department, get a couple rushing touchdowns. I think there's a lot to like there with the offense as a whole. Yep. The defense is going to be straight trash. That's why I like Gardner Minshew. Because I mean, everything that you probably could say about Joe Burrow that you like, you could say about. Then we already know this with Gardner Minshew heading into his second year. And we're talking about a sixth-round pick out of Washington State who was thrust in out of nowhere. Nobody knew who Gardner fucking Minshew was, or most people didn't, and came into that situation and played pretty well. He had his ups and downs, took some lumps, but as a whole, I would much rather have Gardner Minshew than Joe Burrow in terms of – now, of course, I mean, as we know, in taking a late-round quarterback, there's so many available. You can stream. You can do whatever if you don't hit on one of them. I understand it. But for me, I think Gardner Minshew – like, and early in the offseason, like, I wasn't real high on Gardner Minshew. But the more I've looked into him and the more everything that I've looked at with him, I think the upside's there. I don't know how great of a real quarterback that he actually is. But I think just for fantasy purposes, which we've seen with guys like Blake Bortles, who were consistent performers in terms of fantasy, you know, and giving you QB1 years, I think that can be Gardner Minshew. I think he can do those same things. I like DJ Chark. I like D.D. Westbrook is still there. Bringing in LaVisca Chenault, you know, so they have some pieces there. Jay Gruden now is the OC. If he remains, who knows with all the shit that he's in. But if he stays, I think there's a ton to like about Gardner Minshew. Again, he also gives you that rushing upside that you're kind of looking for.
I like Gardner. Yeah, and I'm not going to say a bad thing about him. I like him.
Same. And Derek, I actually think we talked about this earlier on Twitter. Chris Conley also had like 700 yards last year and like nobody realized
it. It was quietly good, man.
Yeah, he was quietly good last year. So there are weapons there.
Well, I think Chenault spells the death of Edie Westbrook. Like, I think he goes into the slot, man. I think that's scary, he absolutely does. Because if you look at Chenault's profile, he was most successful in 2018. He ran about half his routes out of the slot. In 2019 is where he struggled. Yes, he had the injuries, but they pushed him outside. I think he was like 70, 80% outside wide receiver. I think that he goes into the slot, and I'm not going to say a bad thing about Gardner. I love his rushing upside. Mm-hmm. The only thing looking into Jay Gruden is I kind of wonder if the passing volume goes down a little bit because he's never been a high volume coordinator. They've leaned on the run a little bit under at least when back in his coordinator days. Now Washington, that's a whole mess because McVay, it's hard to tell like who was really running what there in Washington because McVay was there for 3 years with Kirk Cousins and stuff like that. Like the water gets a little bit muddier. I do like it because they're going to have to throw, man. I mean, it's one of the big reasons why I'm not in on Leonard Fournette, like because I do like Minshew and I like the pass catchers. I'm all in on Josh Oliver too. So yeah, you're not going to hear anything bad out of me for Gardner.
Eifert, O'Shaughnessy. Yeah. Yeah. And if Jay Gruden keeps his job, I absolutely believe there will be a Jay Keelan Gruden bump. I've always been a fan.
I still like Keelan Cole. I think Keelan Cole has an opportunity to go. He's probably not gonna be a thing with the Jags, but I think he could go somewhere else. And because they put a tender on him, didn't they? Like he was supposed to be a free agent there. I think they put a tender on him. Anyway,
Josh Oliver is my Darren Waller call for this year. Throwing that out there real fast.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he's okay. And he's sitting out there in dynasty waiver wires. Well, so
he is, man. Like, and just real quick,
waivers.
I threw this in here, but. Gruden, 17% target share to Gresham in two of his years in Cincinnati. Jordan Reed saw a 17-24% target share. It ain't Eifert, man. He's a part-timer.
Mm-hmm.
The athletic guy that you need to go get is Josh Oliver, and he's free. Free, free, free everywhere.
Only thing that scares me is O'Shaughnessy actually played well before he got hurt last year, but I agree. The upside for Oliver, third-round pick, athletic, is definitely there, and it's worth looking into for sure.
Oliver didn't have any targets in his three games. He only played three games. He ran 20 or more routes in two of those three games.
Oh, that's
so cool. But, we've obviously been going for 2 hours and 16 minutes. I'm going to have to cut this thing up. This thing's going to get chopped up. I think since this is like the redraft primer, and we're probably not going to meet up again, just everybody just give one like super your bold fucking take for the year. Ryan, you haven't said a lot. Start with you.
Is it a bold take that the season finishes?
Because I'm gonna go with that. That could be the hot take.
That's so fucking sad.
Yeah, that's Debbie Downer, Ryan.
I'm not touching that.
No, I just
ball. you want my
the season finishing.
Positive.
The season finishing in a positive way. Not that there it does not finish.
Oh.
I think at this point that is a bold take that the season finishes. But bold take. Let's go with.
I got one. If you want more time,
yeah.
I think I already threw mine out there as Josh Oliver's Darren Waller this year. So
yeah, that's not a bad one.
I like that one.
I feel like that was hot enough. I mean, I don't know if y'all want me to turn up the heat anymore, but I don't know what else. I don't know what else I got. Past
please
that.
Do Derek, if you'd like.
Derek,
to.
You'll like mine.
Ooh,
let's hear it, Maddie.
Come on,
Maddie. Is it gonna be Dan Arnold?
Oh, no, please.
I actually don't hate that.
Oh,
Dan Arnold got brought up on my pod the other day, only thing I could think of was y'all collection of fools right here, because I was like, it's the Arnold truthers, baby. I'm coming home tonight.
It was like 1% on his Thanksgiving slate.
A couple of years ago. I remember.
Showdown GOAT. Maybe hot take. Dude.
Yeah, Maddie, let's hear it.
Cam Akers is a RB1, top 12.
Yes!
That receiving upside for him, I think he steps into Gurley's role more than the others.
Yes.
All right. That's when I'm going to have to reevaluate. I like it. I'm going Mecole Hardman post 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns.
I like it.
I love that. Who are you killing in the Kansas City offense?
Mecole Hardman is overtaking Sammy Watkins from the jump.
Okay. You know,
and DeMarcus Robinson.
I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. That's
Sal said that's not bold enough, Ben.
I mean, we can talk about it if you want.
No, it's just okay. Because like to me, I'm.
Oh shit! This. What's up, Sal?
That's not bold enough. Not bold enough. I love it.
Because obviously, Kelce and Tyreek, right? They're going to be the number two. So I mean, you're talking. I mean,
so he's the number three,
dude.
But 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. That is.
I mean, he had half that on like 18 catches last year.
Right. Yeah. Right. But that. I mean, that was.
I wish they would let him play. Just let the dude play. He could play in the zone. Like he could play. He could succeed versus anything. The dude just absolutely ripped man in press coverage. Like, I would love to see McColl in a full role, man. Like,
that's
that
what
would
Paris
be...
Campbell's going to do. 4-3 speed. Kills. It kills, man.
Maddie. You're singing it tonight, hey, dude.
I think McColl...
Why you got those numbers, Ben?
What?
How you got Mahomes while you have those numbers? Like, what's Mahomes finishing?
Mahomes going for 60 touchdowns.
That's what you should have led with.
I mean, let's
hot, but he just nuked my face.
60.
Sammy Watkins catching half of those, by the way.
Let's not sit here and act like 60 is not out of the question for Patrick Mahomes.
Dear God, I recant. Travis Kelce in the first round. Never mind, baby.
I think of 60 TDs, and I think about the LSU offense, and they literally scored almost every time down the field, and Burrow threw 60 touchdowns.
He threw 50.
Like, that's how good. You have to be insanely efficient.
If anybody can do it.
But if anybody can do it, it would be Patrick Mahomes.
God, man.
I'll just have no pants on this entire year if that happens.
If he has 50 or 45, Hardman can get to 10 touchdowns.
If that's the case, literally every week at DFS, we're just going to be like, all right, how the hell do I jam in Patrick Mahomes and run variations of Kansas City?
Where does Patrick Mahomes, like, where's his price, you think, in DFS? Where do you think it gets if he's on that kind of a heater?
You're looking at 9K. If not north of that.
Around 9K. But Hardman had 538 and 6 last year.
Yeah, that's what I said. He had half
no freaking snaps.
And how many catches did he have? 24 receptions, something like that?
Yeah, he had the most receiving yards on 43 or fewer targets in NFL history. So if we give him twice the role, which I'm projecting, the dude's going to go off. So I should have talked about him.
Yeah, God, I love that.
Forget Golden Tate.
You buried the lead. You buried the lead with that.
I mean, he can score every time he touches the ball, whether you hand it off behind the line of scrimmage or throw him a 3-yard slant, or he can catch a 45-yard bomb down the field. Like,
he's Tyreek Hill's replacement.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tyreek probably has a year.
Well, they drafted him when Tyreek was in limbo with his status.
If you look at Tyreek's contract after this year, his dead cap goes to nothing. So if they wanted to, they can get out from under it.
And why can't they just both ball out together with the best NFL player?
They need to get Sammy Watkins off the field.
Yes.
Cody.
I
think it's going to happen.
Bye, Sammy. Bye. So. You can leave Sammy. Just like. Put McColl on the outside. He can win from there.
Yeah, Sammy doesn't matter, okay? He has one monster game week one. He completely is dead the rest of the year.
And that was a nice game, okay?
And he wins.
He won a lot of money on that game.
He wins people some money in the playoffs.
That was so heartbreaking. I was like, here we fucking go. This is finally the year. It's going to happen. I'll be able to just fucking retire. Oh. Like, I'm just going to quit everything after this. It's going to be Sammy Watkins season.
Oh, Cody.
Week one. And then, boom.
I had him on every team, and after week one, I was set. And then just –
Well, you will always be able to say Sammy Watkins, Super Bowl champion. You will always be able to have that.
Intellectual alien.
All right. Well, I'm happy my bold prediction created so much discussion. Ryan,
what is yours?
Yeah, that's wild.
I don't know. I mean, I wish I would have went first. I feel like I'm going to come in with flaccid takes now. I'm just limp and nothing happening.
Ben tossed some heaters, man.
I know.
His
hot take was 1,210 for McColl, and then it's out of nowhere, casually throws out 60 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's like, man, y'all didn't hurt? I mean, I got 60 tutties for that dude. Like, what you mean?
How many did Mahomes throw 2 years ago? He threw 50 2 years ago, so.
So what's 10 more?
He missed how many games last year? 2 or 3? So it's just, you know, 4 or 5 in those games that he missed, and he's there.
Sal, you missed my bold take, man.
I feel like everything after this is going to be boring.
come on, Cody. Bring the heat, baby.
DK
Sammy Watkins, 25 touchdowns.
The Jets will have a better offense than the Patriots.
No way. That's already been said.
Oh, my God.
That was going to be – no, that's – I was going to say it, but that's not really what it was.
I'll double down, and I'll go DK Metcalf and Tyler Boyd finish as wide receiver ones.
Let's go, Cody.
Ooh.
Tyler Boyd, high.
Both. I feel like one of them is not going to be enough following that act up, so I'm just going to throw – I'm going to throw both in there. And then I'll also say that Mixon and Sanders finish as top 6 running backs.
Mm-hmm.
I get –
Go Bengals.
Listen, you slut. You're just out here just throwing out hot take after hot take. Supposed to be one. You're just dropping all kinds of them out here.
Listen, if I had Adam Gase tickling my butthole underneath the table, too.
No, he got him! He got him!
Oh, yes. My God.
Call him me a slut. Take the Redskins over the Patriots.
That's getting clips. We're clipping that.
Cody wins.
Woo! Ryan, what's yours?
I got Gallup as a top 15 wide receiver and outscoring Amari Cooper the team.
I can get on board with that.
That's
exactly why I think CeeDee Lamb is too hyped for this year.
Yep.
For this year. Yeah, for this year.
Gallup had better per game numbers than Cooper last year. People don't realize.
Gallup's a stud.
Quietest from week six touchdown year.
No, his every game he played because he was hurt a couple. He had better per game stats in last season. Yeah, he's Gallup's a stud.
Baller. Total baller.
Come on, buddy, Kev.
I thought you weren't going to get shook, Kev. He's still shook by that.
I'm not shook. I just cried. That was a good one. That was a good one. Tickling mouth.
Still on it.
I'm still dying. I'm gonna go. Darius Guys finishes a top eight running back, and Jonnu Smith finishes in the top four.
I love the Jonnu.
Clip him and put him in the bank, Kev.
I'm one for two on those. Yeah, I love the Jonnu call.
Wow,
Darius Guys is one of the best values in all of fantasy drafts right now, going in the seventh round.
I mean, the Redskins are an elite offense. What can you say?
Hey, you got to do it. You got to take them.
I mean, when
you can get the starting running back.
I never said that they were an elite offense. I never said that.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
You might not survive this Jets bet, Kev. Like I'm talking about if they end up bottom three offenses in the league, like you ain't surviving, bro.
Kev, I'm gonna blast you every week.
Yeah, I'm blasting you too. That's bad.
if for some reason I don't make it, can somebody just put this on my tombstone? Like I'm totally fine with that. Like y'all just
every once in a while, I sort of like I'm like you know in my head after I've thought about it, I'm like you know that might have not have been my best take, but I'm standing by it. I'm standing by it because I'm a man of my word.
Because
it still has nothing to do with it. I still think the Jets offense in terms of their weapons is better than the Patriots and what they currently have. However,
Who still has to go?
We're done. That's it. Everybody's done. Went.
That was it.
Everyone's done.
Yeah.
I understand what you were doing, Kev, and I actually respect the hell out of it. But then when you took it to the next level and decided to bet on Adam Gase, that's where you went.
That
might have been some peer pressure, but I wasn't going to let you get out of that one.
But my adrenaline went too far, and then my mind started spinning. I was like, wait a second, the Jets defense is going to be terrible. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. That means the offense is going to should be out there. And I'm like, you know, the Patriots defense is going to be fucking elite, so they're probably not going to be, you know, I would say that it's going
to be. It was all that under the table action. He just couldn't handle it anymore.
And then I was like, I'm taking it. And then I started back after a couple of minutes. I started backing off. I was like, man, that probably wasn't my best. That wasn't my
this
best.
This dude got a 32-ounce solo cup, and he's been drinking it.
I knew I had him whenever he liquid paused, courage flowing. Whenever I was like, well, what you want to do? And he goes,
yeah, I almost spit that all over my computer.
There was a few crickets from Kev a few times this
year. He paused for a second. I think he was like, oh, shit, I've gone too far. Oh,
I think the important question is, will the 10 touchdowns that the Patriots defense scores, will those be counted in the Patriots points per game numbers? Because we know those are happening.
No, that shouldn't count. That doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count.
We need someone who's good at like the graphic game to take that clip of Adam Gase like looking at the tacos and just make a Kevin butthole.
I gotta go on that note.
We will have to get a ticker going though throughout the season. We're going to start off every Degen Nation pod with how many points that the Patriots offense has scored. How many
points baby.
The Jets offense has scored. The Jets play the Chiefs this year too. So, Kev, you taking the over in that game already? You just hammering the over week 7.
Not even slamming the over.
I am so weak right now.
73-10. 73-10 final.
Oh, all right, Ryan, call us out. Get us out of here.
Oh, man. 2020 Fantasy Football Super Show. You guys have been listening to it. Thank you guys for joining in. Everybody who's been watching on YouTube, on Periscope, listening to the podcast, we much appreciate it, guys. Get to the website, fantasyauthority.com. See it right there at the bottom of the screen if you're watching along with us. Lots of content coming out there. This is going to be up there. Can't wait to have this show spiced up with all the different takes and conversations that we had. Thanks for everybody tuning in. You can follow us on Twitter at @FF_authority, Instagram, The Fantasy Authority, and same thing on Facebook, The Fantasy Authority. Signing off for everybody for this show, The Fantasy Super Show. It's been a blast. We had our guest, Maddie Dickinson at @MaddieDFS. We had Derek Brown at @Debro_FFB. And we had Ben Cummins at @BenCumminsFF. We thank you guys for joining us. The TFA host, Kevin Steele at @FantasyRat13 and Cody Kutzer at @CKutzerFF. I'm your host, Ryan Alexander _W. It's been a fun ride with you guys. We're excited for the 2020 season, and we can't wait to see you guys next time. Signing out. Peace.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.